All right. Let's move on to the regular agenda, which is item number 108.
Support HR 3636, the Update, Promote, and Develop America's Transportation Essentials Act of 2013, and other efforts to stabilize federal funding for transportation infrastructure.
Well, Commissioner Novick and I put this on the agenda because we do have a legislative agenda to prepare as a city, and our one of our members of Congress for the city of Portland, Congressman Blumenauer, has put this important piece of business in front of the Congress, which is, can we finally keep up with the need for federal funding for infrastructure by catching up on the gas tax? And so we wanted to get this item on the calendar so the council could discuss it, and we hope take a position in support of this leadership effort that Congressman Blumenauer is putting forth. Steve, anything else you want to add in introducing this?
Congressman Blumenauer, I actually saw Congressman Blumenauer a couple of months ago when I went back east for my annual trip to celebrate Robert Kennedy's birthday, but I dropped in and saw the congressman, and he specifically asked for support in this matter. And I commend the congressman's courage in being willing to take a political risk in acknowledging that we need to raise some more money at the federal level to invest in our crumbling infrastructure. A lot of people don't like the gas tax. I don't particularly like the gas tax. It's a sales tax. It's not a progressive tax on income. However, it is also a user fee, so to me that somewhat ameliorates its rather regressive nature. But there's other proposals in Congress to raise money for infrastructure other than Congressman Blumenauer's, and I probably support those too. But something needs to be done. Our infrastructure nationally and locally is crumbling. We depend on federal money for transportation in the state. We depended on it to keep the interstates passable. We depend on it for things like Portland-Milwaukee light rail. If we're going to get bus rapid transit or light rail on Powell or in the Southwest Corridor, we're going to need federal help. We get federal money for local projects, sidewalk and safety projects throughout the city, including East Portland. We depend on federal money, and the federal transportation coffers are dwindling, and the congressman has said something needs to be done. Much has been made of the fact that the congressman has proposed nearly a doubling of the federal gas tax. I think we need to be aware of how small the federal gas tax and how small gas taxes as a whole are in the context of what we spend as a society on transportation. I think a family in Oregon is in Portland is lucky if they spend $100 a month on car insurance. If you've got two cars with not particularly good gas mileage, this gas tax increase might cost you $12 a month. That means that if the Geico Gecko is correct and 15 minutes will save you 15% or more on car insurance, then that 15 minutes might save you as much as Congressman Blumenauer is asking you to spend. We spend hundreds of dollars a month on car payments. We spend, again, if a family, that same family, has two cars and is driving kind of a normal amount, then they're spending about $2,700 a year just on gas, not including the gas taxes. It may be a near doubling of the federal gas tax. What Congressman Blumenauer is proposing is, I think, and this was probably an exaggeration, maybe a 2% increase in an average family's transportation spending. It's going to sound like a lot to some people, but as a fraction of our overall transportation spending, it is tiny. If we're going to spend $100 a month on car insurance, which is something that most of us hope never to use, then I think spending maybe an extra $12 a month to ensure that our roads and bridges don't crumble does not seem that bad. And on bridges, by the way, I forgot to mention that the federal government paid for a chunk of the Sellwood Bridge, which we're paying, the county's paying, to rebuild. Some of that came out of federal gas taxes. So I realize nobody likes the gas tax. There's reasons I don't particularly like it, but we also need to realize that our infrastructure is crumbling. We need to pay for it somehow. In this Congress, Congressman Blumenauer isn't going to get the Republican House to agree that we're going to pay for infrastructure through a massive income tax increase on rich people. So Congressman Blumenauer has gone for what he thinks is theoretically possible. He's also acknowledged that the gas tax is ultimately a declining source of revenue because, and they're good, and this is a good thing in many ways, people are driving less and more fuel-efficient cars. So he's proposing that we make plans to replace the gas tax with some other form of transportation revenue in the future. But for right now, Congressman Blumenauer has put something on the table, which is important, and I think it's important for us to support him.
Steve, can I ask you two questions? The first is, I read somewhere or saw an interview where I think the congressman acknowledged that something like this has very little chance of getting through the Republican House for a number of reasons, but that he wanted to spark a debate and get on the table a range of options. Is that your sense strategically?
That is my sense. However, I hope that the congressman is being unduly pessimistic, because I think that even people in, you know, dark red Republican districts drive cars and ride bicycles and walk. And I think that if he's and the Chamber of Commerce, as well as an organized labor, supports this proposal. I mean, business people around the country in individual states and individual congressional districts will say that to have an economy, we need infrastructure. So I think that, the congressman might be right that taxes are verboten in the current House, but this is an issue where the traditional supporters of the Republican Party are with Congressman Blumenauer.
I think the second thing I just wanted to observe is that the mayor and I are working on Superfund, and we now have a Superfund that has no fund. We have a transportation system that you've described as crumbling with declining federal revenues. At some point, this is a question of economic development for the nation. At some point, this is about economic security. At some point, this is actually a national security issue. And so the more I think we can focus on the need for federal support to fund infrastructure, which after all funds an interstate transportation system, which is the lubrication of our economy, the better. And so whether it's putting dollars into Superfund, rational regulations in other areas so that don't bankrupt us, or innovative ways to get new funding for things that we need to do, I think we should always be on record supporting them, understanding that ultimately this may not be the outcome that Congress gets to, but we're drawing attention to a growing problem. And last question, your share of the $160 million of annual capital spending deficit is what? Transportation is what percentage of the, when the auditor reports that every year we're falling $160 million short on the
Well, actually, if you look at just the pavement deficit that the auditor pointed out last year, it would take an extra $75 million a year over 10 years in order to bring our streets up to the good, fair, poor, excellent standard that we want to achieve.
Okay.
So just for pavement, it's about $75 million a year. And if you throw in our maintenance deficit on bridges, other structures, retaining walls, and our street signs, street lights, signals, you add more onto that.
And that's before you even get to the question of resilience.
That's before you even get to the question of resilience, and that is also before you get to the question of the many communities where you see arterials, where kids are walking to school, where you don't have sidewalks, where you see streets that are unpaved, where you see dangerous intersections where we don't have flashing beacons or something else to help people across. That's before you get to all that.
Thank you.
Great. Good discussion. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this?
Yes, we have one person, Terry Parker.
Come on up. Morning. Still morning. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Terry Parker. I am a taxpayer in Portland here. The language in your resolution that states, whereas federal gas tax revenues support both the highway trust fund and the mass transit account, identifies an ongoing problem that won't be solved by H.R. 3636. While driving is subsidized at pennies per passenger mile, less than a dime, public transit is taxpayer subsidized at over 60 cents per passenger mile. User-paid fares support only 25% of the operating costs. Two-axle transit buses also do the heaviest damage to local streets and roads, for which the riders do not pay for. On the same note, bicyclists, whom also benefit from the Highway Trust Fund, pay directly zero into the fund, along with nothing locally to support the actual price tag for bicycle infrastructure. In addition to support from motorist-paid fuel taxes, it is my understanding that due to automobiles becoming more fuel-efficient and more people driving less and or using alternative transportation, over the past few years, general fund dollars have also been injected into the Federal Highway Trust Fund at about the same dollar amount that is being siphoned off for alternative transport infrastructure. In other words, what motorists pay into the federal gas taxes is self-sustainable for roadways. It is the alternative modes that are the problem, draining the fund dry without the users making any direct financial contributions. While adding to the national debt, this social engineering mindset is not working. History clearly demonstrates higher rates of personal mobility, such as driving, significantly contributes to greater economic productivity, which in turn generates more family wage and better paying jobs. That in turn is supportive of a vibrant economy. Likewise, due in part to the biased anti-car mindset that Port Metro and the City of Portland continually attempt to impose on the people, wages and salaries associated with post-recession jobs in the region fall well below the national average, while the social engineering costs continue to soar. It should also be noted that in addition to making improvements faster than with transit vehicles, the modern fuel-efficient cars coming off the assembly lines use less energy per passenger mile, as measured in BTUs, and produce less emissions per passenger mile, as measured in CO2, than riding transit, and that includes in Portland. Given all the facts, and without assessing some type of tax or user fees on the users of alternative transport modes, which in turn would help pay for the infrastructure being utilized, H.R. 3636, which solely shakes down more money for motorists, is a form of tax discrimination. Before passing any support resolution for an increase in the gas tax or any other user fees assessed on driving, an equity clause or amendment needs to be added that any support of the legislation must require the users of alternative transit modes to also make direct fee-based payments into the transportation fund accounts that will over time increase with inflation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, anyone else? Then roll call on the resolution, please.
Fritz? Thank you, Terry, for your ongoing vigilance in that area. And this, we need a lot of money from the federal government to help address the huge amounts that we cannot raise in our community. It's estimated we have an unfunded mandate of $83 billion annually nationwide, and that we need a minimum of $500 billion. That's 500,000 million to get our infrastructure into condition where its benefits outweigh its costs, because there's a cost to not having good roads, good sidewalks, good street lighting. And the cost we see here in Portland is in fatalities and crashes on Powell and on Foster and on Barber, and places where the lighting isn't good and there's no sidewalks, no bikeways, and it's just not safe. So I was looking into the federal funding for housing recently, and I think I'm remembering correctly that in the Reagan presidency, federal funding for housing went from $83 billion to $18 billion. So huge, huge cuts in housing, and I'm sure that the same thing has happened to transportation funding over the years and in other things that we as a nation need to respect, that we need to work together with the federal government to fund things that we care about. And I appreciate the mayor and Commissioner Novick putting this measure on our agenda before the discussion this afternoon to highlight its importance and to show our support for Congressman Blumenauer's bill. Aye.
Bish?
I forget those statistics on housing, but I'm a little rusty, but I think currently depending on what you add up, you get to about $40 billion at HUD for all the programs that address people that are priced out of the market, as compared to over $100 million in foregone revenue because of the mortgage interest deduction, which, as you know, goes to people who have second homes or have expensive homes where they can...
$100 billion, right?
So 2.5 times is spent in foregone revenue in subsidizing mortgages, which is, in relative terms, not a means-tested program, although I think there's now some cap. You can only do your second home, and there might be $1 million mortgage cap or something. But it still is a very generous program, and I think $40 billion or less for all of the programs which address people that the market is not serving. So pretty significant imbalance. It's been a good discussion, and I'm pleased that Congressman Blumenauer has put an idea on the table, and I would challenge others to come up with a better idea. Aye.
Novick?
I really appreciate the mayor putting this forward with me, and I very much appreciate my colleague's support. I mean, this is not an easy issue. A lot of people don't like the gas tax, but everybody uses the roads. I actually want to respond a bit to some of the points that Mr. Parker made. I am pleased that the federal government does put some money into mass transit and alternative modes of transportation because, for one thing, it gives people who have access to that an opportunity to avoid a lot of the expenses of having a car. I used to live in Washington, D.C. I did not own a car. I rode the subway. And my transportation budget was a lot smaller. It was minimal. We want to give some people the opportunity to avoid a lot of the costs associated with having a car. I appreciate the fact the federal government is willing to spend some money on pedestrian amenities. I also want to note that investments in mass transit and pedestrian amenities help reduce health care costs, which have been eating away at our economy for the last 40 years. There was a study done in Charlotte, North Carolina, a few years ago where some bright research organization, when a light rail line was approved, but before it was put in, but when they knew the route, they called people along the proposed route and asked them, among other things, how much do you weigh? And then after the light rail line was put in, 6 months later, they called back again and asked people, are they using light rail regularly? And if they said yes, they said, well, how much do you weigh now? And on average, people who started using light rail regularly had lost 6 pounds just because they were walking to and from the stops, not just going from parking space to parking space. So I appreciate the fact that the federal government, unlike the Oregon state government, is able to use some of their transportation revenue for mass transit. But I also appreciate the fact that they're able to keep I-5 and 84 operating, and they're able occasionally to give us money for sidewalk and safety amenities. Again, I really, really appreciate my colleagues' willingness to support this. I appreciate Congresswoman Blumenauer for being willing to start conversations which other people aren't willing to start. And the other example is, I mean, Commissioner Fish was talking about the Superfund. It used to be the Superfund was paid for by a tax on oil and chemical industries, and Newt Gingrich decided to put an end to that in 1995. And every year, Congressman Blumenauer says, why aren't the oil and chemical industries paying their fair share of Superfund cleanups? So I very much appreciate my colleague's support of this, appreciate the Congressman's effort. Please to vote aye.
Hales.
Yeah, four scary words, pay as you go. That's the radical notion that Congressman Blumenauer is putting forward with this bill. And there apparently are some people in Congress that get the vapors over the prospect of catching up on our gas tax a little bit, but get real on two counts. One, the gas price at the pump goes up and down 30 or 40 cents over the course of a year, if you pay attention to that. So, you know, over the course of the year, we will pay more or less than this by twice the amount that he's proposing. Secondly, maybe to make this a little more real, after a recent trip, I wanted to kidnap every member of Congress and take them with me on a return visit to our sister city of Suzhou. Because here's how you get there. You get off the plane in the airport in Shanghai, and you take the maglev at 300 kilometers per hour for an 8-minute trip to downtown Shanghai, where you see forests of cranes, gleaming new towers, and incredible prosperity all around you. Then you get on the pokey little regional train that only goes 150 or 175 kilometers per hour. Oh, it's electric, of course. That takes you every 15 minutes to the nearby medium-sized city of Suzhou. You get off the train there, and you take a trip to the new Suzhou Industrial Park, where there are Fortune 500 companies from the United States building major facilities, and there are brand new 8-lane arterials with beautiful landscaping all dressed up and ready for the development, and shrink-wrapped subway stations. I am not making this up. They build subways on spec for their economic development efforts and shrink wrap the stations until those Fortune 500 companies build a few towers and the workers show up. That's what 10% of GDP going into infrastructure looks like. We are what 2% of GDP going into infrastructure looks like. If we want to be a first world country, we need to start catching up to a few other places like China that have figured that out. So this is so basic and so easy, and yet apparently for a few people in Congress, it's still hard to contemplate. I appreciate Congressman Blumenauer's leadership, and I'm happy that we're supporting it. Aye. Okay, we have one more.